We come this evening to Catechism 91, our study of the Shorter Catechism, Catechism 91. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them, or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. What is a sacrament? Well, a sacrament is an outward visible sign of an inward invisible grace appointed by our Lord. It's not something that's been set up by the church. It's not something that has been imagined, but the Lord has clearly appointed this sign to demonstrate what would not be otherwise seen with our eyes. It illustrates, it demonstrates something about who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. A sacrament reveals Jesus Christ. We've been working through the catechism, and there's a sequence and an order, and this question builds upon what we've already considered. And if you remember, in question 88, we were told that there were three principal means, three principal ways whereby Christ communicates the benefits, the blessings of redemption. Where do we find the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we receive the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that catechism teaches us there are three principal ways, and these are by the Word of God, through the sacraments, and prayer. And it's important to understand then that the sacraments which we're considering tonight are not to be thought of in isolation from God's Word. The Word of God informs and explains the sacrament. Without the Word of God, the sacrament would not be a help to us. There's an order. There's a priority in the way the Catechism addresses this. The Word, sacraments, and then prayer. Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But that faith which comes by hearing is a faith which is strengthened by then seeing and participating in the sacrament instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. The sacrament doesn't convey something different from the gospel. But the sacraments convey the gospel in a different way. The sacraments convey the gospel in a different way. And the sacraments are in our church administered by a preacher, by a minister, not by the other office bearers, by the elders. And I think the reason for that is that we must recognise the connection to the word preached. So these individuals who've been recognised, appointed, authorised in Christ's name by Christ's church to preach the word are those who can then administer the sacraments. It's not because they have particular power, but it's because the sacrament and the word belong together. But let's consider the catechism. How do the sacraments become effectual to salvation? The sacraments become effectual to salvation, not from any virtue in them, or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. The Catechism gives us two negatives and then two positives. I should say before we go on, of course, that there are two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the catechisms that follow will consider baptism and then the Lord's Supper. But there's two negatives. And the first negative in the answer before us tonight is this. The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them. There is no virtue, there is no power in the sacrament by itself. It has no magical influence. The sacrament does not contain grace. The sacrament does not mechanically confer grace. Baptism itself does not wash away sin. It does not regenerate you. It does not make you a Christian. Sometimes people refer to infant baptism as christening, but that is the wrong terminology because the baptism does not Christianize that one. It does not make you a Christian. There's no virtue in the sacrament itself. That's what the Roman Catholics believe. Unless you're baptized, you cannot go to heaven. The baptism confers that grace upon you. And it's so vital in their understanding that one be baptized, that if a child is in danger of dying at childbirth, the midwife can baptize, so that that child is baptized. Otherwise, they believe there can be no heaven. That in such a case of a stillborn child, the soul would depart to limbo, which is not a concept to be found in Scripture at all, and limbo itself is just an imagination. So we must not have a superstitious understanding of the sacraments. It does say in 1 Peter, referring to Noah and his deliverance by the ark, it says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." But, that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, Peter immediately adds, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. He says, it's not the outward washing of baptism. It's what baptism symbolizes. And what baptism symbolizes is the cleansing of the soul, not by the water, but through the atoning death of Christ, by the spiritual application upon the soul. This is what Paul is speaking about in Romans chapter 2, where he refers to circumcision, which is one of the Old Testament sacraments. There was the circumcision and there was the Passover, which correspond to baptism and the Lord's Supper. But in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, Paul says, "He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in a letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." This is what this is what matters. The sacrament is a sign of the inner reality. And therefore there's no virtue in the sacrament by itself. Acts chapter 8, we're told about the ministry of Philip the evangelist. And he went to Samaria and the people were impressed, including a man called Simon, who was a sorcerer. And Simon was baptized with the others. But later when Peter came from Jerusalem and Peter conferred the gift of the Holy Spirit upon the people there, Simon tried to buy it. He said, I'll give you money if you give me that power. Peter said, I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He'd been baptized, but he hadn't had that spiritual baptism. He'd had an outward baptism, but his heart was unchanged. And his baptism had not saved him. He was an unregenerate man who, for a time, appeared to be a Christian. Baptism won't save you, and nor will the Lord's Supper give you Christ. Not mechanically. Not because you physically took bread or physically took wine. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because Paul is speaking about the negligent way the church there kept the Lord's Supper, and he says, that's not the Lord's Supper. You've made a mess of it. And it's a blasphemy to call it the Lord's Supper. He says, you're bringing trouble upon yourselves. There's no virtue in the sacrament in the sense of the physical elements of water and baptism or bread and wine in the communion service. We need more than the sacramental form. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the reality. And we must have the reality. So the first negative is there's no virtue in the sacraments. And the second negative we're taught is there's no virtue in him that doth administer them. It's interesting that it says in him that doth administer them. When they were composing the confession, this was a non-controversial point, that the sacraments would be administered by a him, because that's the biblical example, and that's a biblical instruction. It's not that all men are ministers, but all ministers are to be men, because that's God's order. But there's no virtue, there's no power in the person administering. It doesn't matter if you have the most famous preacher in the world, the greatest preacher. That doesn't convey a greater blessing to you in baptism or at the Lord's table. Isn't it interesting that we're told that Jesus himself didn't baptize? His disciples baptized the people who came to him, but he himself didn't baptize. And you might say, why didn't our Lord baptize? I think one of the reasons why our Lord himself didn't baptize was so that people would understand it was the baptism that was important, not the person doing it. And it was what the baptism represented that was important. Paul speaks in a similar way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, I thank God I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I baptized in my own name. Oh, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. That's an afterthought. Paul says, it's not about me baptizing you. Rather, it's been baptized into the name of Christ. Not a power in the person baptizing. And nor is your baptism invalidated, or the dispensing of the Lord's Supper invalidated, but any lack in the preacher. You know, you can be a terrible situation, couldn't you, if you were baptized and then later on that person who had been the minister at that point renounced the faith and walked off. That's a sad situation, but it doesn't invalidate the baptism. It doesn't invalidate what is done in the Lord's name. The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that doth administer them. But only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. The two positives. The sacraments become effectual means of salvation only by the blessing of Christ. The sacraments belong to the Saviour. He has given them to his church as a way to represent him and what he has done for us. And it is through his blessing that the baptism and the sitting at the Lord's table and taking bread, which represents his broken body, and drinking wine, which represents his shed blood, that we are given Christ himself. The bread doesn't become the body of Christ. The wine does not become the blood of Christ. But we receive Christ as we partake of that. Not because of the physical connection with the elements, but because Christ himself has so instituted it and he gives himself with it. Not in the bread and not under the bread, but with it. It's from his hand that the blessing is to be received. We're not to focus upon the preacher. We're not to choose, you know, to say, well, I must have this man or that church. But it is from Christ, and we must look to him and seek the blessing from him. It is only by the blessing of Christ. It's not in the power of the church to give to you. And it's not in the power of the church to compel Christ to give. But he freely gives himself. The sacraments become effectual means of salvation. Not from any virtue in them or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit. The working of his Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit referred to here as his Spirit? Well, because he said that when he would return to his Father, he would send forth the Spirit. So the Spirit comes forth from the Father and comes forth from Christ. And the Spirit works in those who receive the sacraments, making Christ known. There's a Trinitarian harmony in the sacrament. And Paul is challenging the church in Corinth, and he's saying to them, don't grieve the Spirit. That's not the words he's using, but that's what he's saying. He says, you come and you're contentious and you're concerned about your own welfare, and those who've got much will eat much, and those who are hungry are put to shame because they don't have much, and there's a selfishness and there's a thoughtlessness, and you're bringing judgment upon your own heads. You're grieving the Spirit of God. The blessing is only to be enjoyed from the hand of Christ through the working of his Spirit. In them that by faith receive them. And here it comes down to personal responsibility. It's the working of the Spirit in them that by faith receive them. Without faith, we have no Christ. Without faith, you do not receive Christ in the preaching of the word. The gospel is proclaimed and the Saviour is set forth in all his glory. And without faith, you have nothing. Because without faith, you are resisting and rejecting and refusing Christ. But by faith, you receive him. And in the same with the sacrament. You may go through the sacrament. You may receive the sacrament. But without faith, you will not receive Christ. And it doesn't matter how many times you would receive the sacrament. Without faith, you will not receive Christ. You know, what matters isn't so much the heart of the minister, though that is important. And if I'm speaking to ministers, then that's very important. But what matters in the administering of the sacrament is not so much the heart of the minister, which isn't your duty, but it's your own heart. It's your heart. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? Well, it's not from any virtue in them, or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. When is the blessing from the sacrament to be enjoyed? Well, it's not simply at the time when the sacrament is performed or participated in. But there's blessing to be enjoyed from that as it goes on, or as you go on, because you exercise faith as you recognise who Christ is and what he has done and how he's embraced you in his love. So they used to speak about improving one's baptism. Baptism happens once. For many, baptized as a child, you have no memory of it. And yet baptism can be improved, must be improved. And that's the exercise of faith, the recognizing Christ as he reveals himself in that precious ordinance, as he shows in readiness to embrace in the covenant, to receive in the covenant, to cleanse, to put his name upon, to claim, this one is mine. And so it is with sitting at the Lord's table. The blessing is not confined to that moment that you sit, but the blessing is to be ongoing and to continually enjoyed as we exercise faith, recognizing Christ and what Christ has done. These sacraments illustrate redemption, the reality of redemption, and they're pressed upon our consciousness as we see, as we feel, as we experience what has been appointed by Christ to reveal himself. Without faith, Calvin uses this illustration, without faith, without grace, is like sunlight upon the eyeballs of the blind. Doesn't matter how strong the sunlight, you're blind, you cannot see. But by faith, by grace, you see. And as the light shines, you rejoice in the revelation of Christ Jesus. How do the sacraments become effectual to salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them, or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. The sacraments are not essential for salvation, but we dishonour Christ and we deprive ourselves if we neglect them. These are given by him to strengthen us in our weakness. Not as a reward for our being strong, but to strengthen us in our weakness, that we might receive and enjoy and grow in the reality of his salvation. Amen.